B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know, I went a year without touching myself.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
51575. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Does that hand still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
When you throw the ball at him, the ball bounces off the receiver's heel and winds up on his tummy, or he swats a ball down. Or
tummy. Hang on.
Did I actually say that? Oh, God, I said that.
Many, many French fries.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. Ted Johnson. The very muscular Ted Johnson. A man who...
Try not to bust through that sweater, big guy.
A man who, is, despite his retirement, how many years ago, continues to keep it up.
I mean, really, that's skin on a grape right there, my friend.
Jesus, look at that. He's got to pop that vest, too.
Honest to God, you couldn't wear long sleeves like a normal human being.
Well, he's got
you
long
had to
sleeves
wear a vest.
On.
I know, but he had to wear a vest to show off the guns a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
Not a sweatshirt on this man.
When was the last time you wore a vest?
It's been a while.
I don't think I've ever owned... I used to own a jacket when I was a kid where you could take the sleeves off. But like a Mork and Mindy situation.
Hey, look, if I had guns like that, I'd show them off, too.
Well, yeah, I think that that's the only way you can buy a vest.
Yeah.
3 minutes into the show, busting balls.
That's,
I love it already,
no,
man.
Good. I'm just very
guys,
muscular
here's,
today.
Here's the thing. Here's the very vascular. I try to be very vascular.
That's the key. That shows that you cut weight. It's not just about mass. It's about showing. Hey, look.
Well, I mean, look. I just that part of working out as much as I do and as much of a daily routine it is for me. People that work out as much as I do, and where it's, you know, it's a lifestyle choice, you want to show off, you know, what you do. So, yeah, so my shirts are maybe a little bit snug. And the vest, this is a little kind of trick for people. The one part of my body that I still have yet to kind of get to where I'm happy with is the gut, like mm-hmm. most guys, okay? Right. The mm-hmm. gut is kind of... It's the last thing to go. And so the vest, believe it or not, covers up the gut. So I can still show the arms, okay? I can still get the arms out there and show people what kind of arms I got. But the vest hides the gut that I still am still working on tirelessly, okay, trying to get that removed.
So, how do you work out twice a day?
No, I work out once a day.
Okay.
But I, you know, I'll spend at this point, I'm starting to add some exercises. Guys, there was about a 3 year period about a year and a half ago. So 3 years, a year and a half ago, there had been 3 years that preceded that I did not work out at all. And it was bad. I was disgusting. I was a sloth. I had almost 295 pounds I'd put on and was eating terribly and just not working out. And so about a year and a half ago, I decided to get myself back in shape. And so I've been going back to the gym 6 days a week for the last year and a half. And so I'm coming back. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm pretty close to it. So I work out at this point, Freddie, I probably work out for an hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours a day. And I'm in a position now where I can do that. Not everybody, you know, everybody has jobs and
no excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a built-in excuse. I don't have a built-in. I have the luxury, if you will, to go hit it hard every day. So I'm in the gym an hour and a half to 2 hours every day. Six days a week.
And so it's a situation where you spread out what parts of your body you're lifting. Now, is there a cardio element to this whole thing?
32 minutes every day.
That's right. You can't forget about the cardio.
Nope. The heart is a muscle too, Fred. So you got to work out the heart. So and as much as I hate the running, I force myself to run twice a week. I do the elliptical, so low impact stuff. I do the stair climber and the elliptical two times a week, which is great. And so I got to do the cardio as much as I hate it, hate it, hate it. And I do it at the beginning of my workout. Most people do it at the end. I do it at the beginning, so I'm all lathered up, sweaty. And then I go right into the into my strength training.
Get it out of the way.
And get it.
Well, no, he gets all sweaty, and then he gets on the equipment, and then grosses everyone out.
Doesn't wipe it down.
I wipe it down. Okay. I wipe it down.
Right.
A lot of guys that everybody's watching me, right? Oh, there's Johnson over there. What's he doing, right? So I make sure that I wipe it down because people are watching me, and I want people to know that I'm you know, take pride in my gym, and that I don't want to just leave the sweaty bars and sweaty benches when I'm done. You know,
I know,
even though they are.
Even if you wipe them down, if you're the guy who gets on a piece of equipment after you see a guy like, you know, with pit stains and, the tank top is covered in sweat, they see you all lathered up. Doesn't matter how much you wipe that down, you're very hesitant to get on a piece of equipment after you are done.
Never wipe it down.
Let someone else do it.
Don't clean your weights. Don't wipe it down.
No,
clean the weights.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you clean the weights?
Not clean the weights. I mean, it's re-rack them. So, there's a lot of people
that
go put on weight on the bench, and then they don't re-rack the weights. They will leave them there, which is the douchiest move of douche moves in a gym.
All right, so are you like, do people know, are you like a groaner?
I don't groan. The groaners, like, come on. You know what? All right, tough guy. I don't need to know, that was heavyweight for you, or you're... You know, hey, I see you over there lifting a lot of weight, you groaner. You know, it's like, dude, we got you, bro. So the guys that are sit there, and exhale and want everybody to know that they're lifting heavy weight, take that somewhere else. But I love my gym. I have kind of what I would say at the core of my gym is a meathead central, and I'm a meathead at heart.
Yeah.
But so there, you'll get a guy here and there that's kind of letting everybody know that he's there with his grunts and his moans. It's all right. We got you, bro. We know you're big and strong. You got all those big muscles. We don't need to hear from you, too. You know.
Yeah, I went to this gym in Atlanta, and they had these two guys that would cut their shirts so it was just like a string.
Oh, geez.
And then and then they would cut the collar so it was just a string. Oh, yeah. They must have spent like two. I don't know. You know, I was never there for the whole time, but they must have spent 2 hours a day in that gym in like exercise for a total of 5 minutes.
Yeah, you see that guy walks in with the big bag, and three quarters of the time when he walks in, it's all assembling the bag and making sure his headphones are in just right.
Yeah.
And
there was two of them, and they would go to the squat rack, and one guy would just scream at the other guy. And one time they brought a puke bucket out.
Oh,
they didn't throw up to my knowledge, but they brought a puke bucket out just in case.
Just
in case things got out of hand.
Freddie, now this is my wheelhouse. You want to talk gym etiquette and just gym behavior? It's one of the more fascinating things ever. But the two guys, the buddies that lift together, the lifting partners that egg each other on or slap each other on the chest before they do a heavy bench set or those guys
slap each other on the chest.
And especially if he's going to the equivalent of like Powerhouse or Gold's is here.
Yeah.
All the time. That's pretty much everything. that's a place where I would be just so embarrassed because of my own lack of strength. That I would have to immediately leave.
I've seen guys do that, but not slap each other around.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The hardcore guys that, a lot of them are bodybuilders or they're power lifters, if you will.
Yeah.
The workout together, they're a little nuts. They're a little crazy. Okay. And they're there to pump each other up, Hans and Franz style kind of thing, right?
Right, yeah. They're just yelling and, it's a whole situation.
Very annoying, very annoying. So another gym, guys.
When you were playing, you didn't have like a workout buddy you did that with when you went and you lifted?
No, you know what? I did lift. I did have a guy I would work out with on Fridays. It was a random thing. We'd do our bench together, and this was linebackers pushing each other. We had a really unique group of guys, and we all got along, and we all liked to push each other, and we were very competitive.
You yell and scream at each other?
Me and Vrabes, a little bit.
You and Vrabel?
Me and Vrabes. Okay. But it was just pure fun. It was just only on the bench press, but for the most part, I worked out almost my entire career by myself.
Okay.
I had a very unique way of working out. I like to work out maybe more than most. And so it was kind of one of those deals. I didn't want to work out with anybody because I was gonna do more than maybe what they wanted. I exceeded kind of what they like to do, and I had a unique kind of way of working out. So I was more of a guy that liked to do it on my own. Leave me alone. I know what I got to do, and so that's kind of how it worked for me.
All right, there you go,
all right.
Ted Johnson.
But I got up very heavy,
and then cut it down through to a tense workout regimen.
But I appreciate you guys noticing this. It's a little tight. You're saying the sweatshirt?
No, I'm sure it's fine for. Okay.
No, it's not too tight. It's not tight.
It's okay. Right.
It's fine.
All right, good.
You look great.
Good. It's good to see you guys, man.
Nice to see you. You're going to be here the next 3 days.
Next 3 days. You're stuck with me for the next 3 days. So.
Yes. Welcome to the Nut House.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, it gets crazy around here. All right. Coming up today, we got Ty Anderson, Jason Lockenfora, and last night, terrible things happening. Terrible things. Streaks being stopped.
No surprise, though, right? I mean,
I thought it was going to go for throughout the playoffs. I
thought that they were never going to get a point, huh?
Yeah, I thought that it was just going to keep going and going and going. But unfortunately, all good things come to an end. We'll talk about that and so much more in just a moment.
To the point, Cronwall's drive absorbed by Rask.
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Puck into the slot. Back in. He scores!
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tucker and Rich.
.985 the Sports Hub, we're Tucker and Rich. I walked in a conversation between Wallach and Ted Johnson talking about their treadmill thing.
Yeah.
So Ted Johnson, you jump off the treadmill?
Mm-hmm. I can't do that to save my life.
I've been doing it a long time, yeah.
Scared the death out of me to hop on a running treadmill that's going like 6.5 miles an hour. How do you do that?
Yep, I've done it for a long time. You get used to it. You got to be, you know, coordinated. I'm not saying you got to be a former athlete to.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying there's some little coordination is involved.
All right.
But Freddie, we were just talking about. So John likes to, he'll run miles at a time, and I was telling him I haven't ran multiple miles in like over 25 years.
Right.
It's all interval training for me. So it's, if I want to do sprints on the treadmill, I got to be able to jump on, jump off. So I'll do 20-second intervals, 30-second intervals. And so you can get that thing. I'll get that thing. I think most of those treadmills, unless you get like the good Woodway treadmills, they can go more than 12 miles an hour. You know, I'll get that thing up to 12 miles an hour when I'm in my peak shape. Right now I'm around, you know, close to 11 miles an hour. Well, I'll jump on for 20 seconds or 30 seconds and then just jump right off on the side. And it's something I've been doing for 20 years, and I'm used to it.
So you jump and you put your feet on the side.
On the sides.
Okay. So you don't jump off the entire thing.
I don't jump off the entire thing. I jump onto the sides.
But still,
well, you couldn't do that?
A treadmill is going 11 miles an hour?
You can do it. You just haven't done it. So you're a little nervous.
That's what he said. Correct.
You can do it with reps. You know, you go at lower speeds. And so you get comfortable jumping on and off.
Do you want to come over to my house and try it? I can tape it.
No, I'm good. Thank you. I have no interest.
You got a treadmill
in that.
There?
No, it's in the basement, the finished basement that you can lie down and touch both sides of. Yes,
yes, the gigantic finished basement that I have. The finished basement that has a bathroom that's literally never been used.
No, you had Adolfo fall down and start screaming on one of your treadmill things.
Well, the best about Adolfo falling is that the treadmill kept going on his fat. And it created almost
sparks flying.
Yeah, it was just like yeah, you could hear that.
Yeah.
All right, so nice. The Bruins are off on this big point streak. They had points in 20 straight games, and then they blew it all.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah, they blew it all last night. They were down 2-0, and Krejci makes it 1-2.
High slot, Marchand fires. Murray the save. Rebound. Punch free. Krejci shoots. They score! David Krejci with Matt Murray down and out, swimming around. He was able to snap it in from the bottom of the left wing circle. Bruins on the board, trailing 2-1.
All right, didn't you think, here's more? And he's going to make it a one-goal game again.
Up top, here's Moore. Wrister. He scores! Sean Moore fired it into the top far corner, and the Bruins are alive with 61 seconds left, trailing by one.
Okay, 61 seconds left. They did it on Saturday night. They've done it in the past. Let's win this thing. But no, they couldn't handle things. The net's open, and ultimately, here's what cost them.
Krug fires. Murray the save. Oh, the rebound just topped by Marchand, and it's swept to the near point and out. Backhanded. They score out at center ice. I think it was Jared McCann at the red line who blindly fired a backhand from just over 100 feet, and it trickles inside the near post, and the Bruins down 4-2 with 20 seconds left.
Yeah, somewhere Adam Jones is very happy.
Yeah. He's the first guy I thought of. He's like, oh, the fit of a pity point streak is over.
Yeah, Jones just
shut all these people up.
I was thinking about Jones covering sports because Adam Jones was in last week. He says unless you win a championship, the season is a complete bust. But, like, he's a fan. Like, or not even a fan. He's someone who has to cover the teams.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, every season's basically a failure.
No, for him, every season's a win. You know, he has
exactly
perfect for him.
No, but a way that he analyzes things.
At least two to three sports he wins at because they don't win a championship.
Don't you think that's a guy that's been covering Boston sports for a while? Like you get to a point where you're just, you know, teams are winning, you know, titles here all the time. The bar is set at an extraordinarily high. You know, so high that you can't even appreciate a team that has a good season, doesn't win the whole thing. But you're just so spoiled with all the championships around here.
Yeah, well, that I got into it with a station in Chicago. They had me on, and they said, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? I said, I don't care. Like, what do I care? And the guys,
they were offended.
They were offended by my honesty of like, what do I care?
And they, are you sure was that Chicago or Kansas City?
That was Chicago. Kansas City was just a guy pretending that he hated Boston.
It was a little how about them apples kind of feel for it. Yeah.
Oh, who was that? The guys from Chicago?
Yeah, no, those are the KC guys.
Oh yeah, they did the how do you like them apples? One of the worst lines in movie history.
I think Chicago did too. Both of them. How about those apples on you?
Yeah, and then they both talked about chowder and like they hate soup. And so, yeah, the guys go, like, do you care? And I'm like, no. But that being said, I mean, if there's a streak of 20 games with a point, at least it's somewhat interesting.
Yes.
You know, if you – and then with the championship, once the championship happens, it's done. I mean, you would like a little bit of garbage to happen along the way. It gives you something to talk about. But, no, ultimately, I don't care. But, yeah, Jones has been covering this stuff, and I'm not asking him to be a fan. I'm just saying, like, if – ultimately, nothing matters unless you win a championship. Then everything is crap until the championship. And then the minute the championship is over, you can start finding things to fault for the next season. So there you go. All right. Grizzlick looked like he screwed up his arm pretty good. Here's Cassidy talking about the situation.
X-ray's negative. May have dodged a bullet there, but too soon to tell, like, if there's soft tissue damage or something else in there. But right now, that's good news, and I would guess tomorrow would have a better idea.
And Charlie McAvoy trying to explain away the heartbreak and crap that went on last night.
I mean, I think, streaks are made to be broken in the end, and it's just the reality of it. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we didn't come out as hard as we wanted to and didn't get the bounces. Their goalie played well. We did manufacture some chances, but ultimately it wasn't enough. But, you know, now start a new streak.
Yeah, good luck.
All those pity points.
All those pity points are gone. Yeah, you're on the road
basically
for the rest of the season. So I understand coming out flat in that game. You're played at home the night before against a very, very bad Ottawa team.
But at the same time, Pittsburgh ran them over in the first period.
Right.
I think we all agree with that.
Oh, yes.
But the Bruins, we've seen many times Bruins teams like, okay, this isn't our night. You know, we'll try. But the Bruins played even or better in the second for most of it until that power play goal, or shorthanded goal, rather. And then... Then the game changed a little bit. But I thought the Bruins bounced back really well against a team that is Stanley Cup caliber year after year, playing on their own home ice. and the Bruins in the second night of a back-to-back. I thought they played really well, things considered.
I thought the same thing, John. Like, there was a point where you go, okay, they're down 2-0 again in Pittsburgh. And that team, they look like they really needed that game. And I think
they did.
Out there just hitting and, I mean, just owning the Bruins in on their own net. And, you know, you just thought, okay, all right, you'd be understandable if maybe they just kind of, you know, coast the rest of the way. Oh, they dug deep. They came back. You're right. That second period, towards the end, they got away from them. But they owned that second period and made it a game kind of in the third. So you got to give them credit, man. They come back. You know, they're down 2-0. They have been, and they've won the previous two games being down 2-0. This one was a little bit too much to overcome, but at least they came back. They keep fighting. This team doesn't quit, man.
Generated a ton of chances. The injuries are beginning to mount up a little bit, though. That's one thing I worry about. The injuries are beginning to mount up, but you don't know who Krejci is going to skate with night after night. And Grizzlick by himself is not a huge loss, but with Miller and now the two forwards down. I mean, you'd like to see people get a little healthier with the end of the season right around the corner.
Well, they say Johansson's going to play.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so. Johansson is going to play soon. And DeBrusk apparently is going to play soon also, within the next week is the hope. So those are good things.
Kevin Miller is the one who stands to be gone the longest. Am I correct?
Yes.
Boy, he cannot stay healthy.
No one's really sure when Miller's coming back. There seem to be timelines on everybody else. Grizzlick didn't break his arm last night.
It looked like
he did, really bad.
Looked like I thought he was broken. The way he reacted, the way he went down on the ice. And he's been really... I mean, he's been a really good player for this team.
Solid.
Very good player for this team.
Yeah. My son was in a very chippy basketball game yesterday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was he delivering hits or was he receiving them?
Things move so fast in those fifth grade games, John. It's impossible to keep track of.
10-year-olds are tough to keep track of. I got it.
It's impossible. Yeah. But he took a big fall and a push, and then he got smacked in the balls.
Really?
Yeah.
Intentionally or no?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
It happened behind the play.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if it was an opposing coach that hit him in the balls.
Oh, really? Might have been on the side as he was running up the sideline.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a fan in the audience that that stepped onto the court and hit him in the balls.
Right.
But then he was wrestling for a ball with a kid, and then he slammed the kid down.
Oh.
And then afterwards...
You can't teach that, Fred.
That's just muscle. That's muscle. You know what it is? It's technique.
That's in the DNA, man.
That's right. He's been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu since he was two. So he has he knows all about weight and angle. And so he's doing that. And then I did see this, is that he was in a free throw line and a kid smacked him with an elbow. But, you know, it went both ways.
Wait, this was like before a foul shot, or is this during?
Like the foul shot went up, and
right?
Then I saw him just get ripped with an elbow.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he was a marked man yesterday. They had a scout report on your son.
Let's
get this toucher kid.
I think that maybe I noticed the most because he came out crying three times.
Oh.
So, like, the one where he got pushed and fell, like, I understand. I didn't see him get hit in the balls.
Right.
But the ref was like, dude, I can't keep, like, stopping the game. Like, you got to get him out of here. And I'm like, all right. And I got him out, and then I saw him get hit with an elbow. But it went both ways. A kid on their team got poked in the eye.
This game took place at an elementary school, right?
At a middle school.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, middle school.
Was the opposing crowd going, mo, mo, mo?
No. That's gone away.
Good for you.
Is this your oldest kid, Fred? So this is your first time going through youth sports?
Yes.
Okay. So, have fun with this. My kids are 14 and 13. It's interesting. Listening to the parents in the stands, what they yell, how they treat their kids when they're out there playing.
Well, I had a kid.
It's eye opening.
I had a kid on a team. I won't even say when, but not this year. And the kid's dad would run on the court, and like the kid would just start crying.
Oh God!
But the parents haven't been bad. I've never had like crazy parents. But I think I'm bagging out of the youth sports coaching and getting. Oh, for my son and going
to
my daughter.
Fred. Get out while you can.
Yeah. I agree.
Get out while you can, buddy.
Yeah.
My favorite is the parent that is like, makes an excuse for everything. You know, a goalie lets the ball through. It's okay, honey. That wasn't your fault. You can hear him screaming. It wasn't your fault. It's like, no, nothing the kids do is their fault to some of these parents. I'm right. Like, oh, yeah, that's way to raise. You're raising a real tough kid right there. Jeez.
Well,
oh,
yeah. My gosh. So I'm out and focusing on. I think that the game has passed me by. I think that
it's getting too fast.
But there's a point where you got to realize, like, I don't know enough to tell these kids anything more. Like with baseball and basketball, I think I've hit my expiration date in terms of I'm no good to anybody.
Like in Hoosiers, they come over to you. You're the drunk dad is like sitting there going. They all look at you. They don't know what to say.
Now
you're
I shooter. Can. Now
you're
I
shooter.
Can.
You shooter. You don't know what to say to them.
No. Now I can be the drunk dad. Now I don't.
All the pressure's off.
Yeah. Now I can go in half cocked. All right.
Enjoy.
So, let me see here. Bird says line one. So line one's got to be great. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, so last night I went to watch my niece play at Jefferson Indoor Sports. I got my 9-month-old, my 2.5-year-old, and as their game ends, Beverly and Amesbury come on the court. And these two parents were literally being held back because before the game even started, they were ready to throw haymakers at each other. They're yelling and screaming about what happened the day before. Oh. One of their wives is like running back crying that this one made fun of her.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a disgrace.
I've never seen that.
Parents act so irrational at these games, man. I'm embarrassed for the kids. I feel bad for the kids because the parents are the ones that embarrass the hell out of these kids by the way they act, man.
I've never seen that. And I've
just watch.
I've seen it.
It's coming.
When they get older?
They get older. It gets a little more competitive if they're at all in the AAU, these club teams.
Well, yeah, the travel is what sucks.
It gets a little bit out of control.
That
is your future, Fred. But you want them in sports, though. You want your kids in sports, if they want to play and they're motivated to play, it's a great thing for them. But just there's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah, and where I live, like the travel thing is already starting, and just if you would have told me when I had kids that I'd be driving 45 minutes to take a kid to a game, I would have kicked myself in the nuts. What are you doing today? Oh, driving.
Yeah. Driving out to Concord, Mass.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Concord.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back. An owner of a team, when he ain't playing the Blues, is kind of a prick. Here are the headlines. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's Happy 311 Day.
Chill.
But listen to him go into patois. Dude, you're from Omaha, Nebraska. How did he get away with doing this right here? You're not from the island.
And nobody questioned it either.
No, that you can just launch into a fake patois whenever you want to. Ugh. One of the worst rappers of all time on a successful band is S.A. Martinez. Yeah, Somewhere Being Real is very upset that I'm talking about that. By the way, I had a guy come up to me this weekend, and it's a guy I know, and he goes, when you were sick, it was the funniest show I've ever heard. And he goes, the guys were taking phone calls about the way people like save spots in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dying laughing. And I said, I actually said, why are you telling me this? Like, why is this coming out of your mouth?
Show's awesome that you're not on it.
No, he goes, when you weren't there,
yeah,
you had the funny. They had the funniest show that you guys have had in years.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what the hell was going on? He's like, it was because of Space Savers.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like thinking,
Well, we were breaking new ground. Well, yeah. That topic's never been discussed before.
Maybe you guys, it was the funniest thing you've ever done. And maybe it was the greatest thing of all time.
Okay.
Say that's just the case. That's not the issue I have. Sure. I'm sure it was wonderful, and I'm sure that it was nice that I wasn't there and that, all that. That's fine. Why would you tell me that? Why do I need to know that?
There's some dumb people out there, Freddie. They have zero. There's, and I get on this all the time with athletes, and it's just, it's shocking to me. The two words, put them together, that people lack. Lack self-awareness.
See, sometimes I think I know they're doing it. Like, they know they're doing it.
Don't we all want to know if they really know what they're doing? Like, that's
right.
Where you say, do they know what they're doing, and they're doing it anyway? Like, screw you, man.
It's not like he's a bad guy either. It was just so random. I get that a lot. Like, not about that particular thing, but like, oh, I never listened to your show, but.
Oh, I get that a lot, too.
Like, I never listened to your show, but such and such happened. Like,
right.
Why are you telling me that? That has nothing to do with you, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I never listened to your show, but.
Or even better, mailman, sorry, I listened to the other guys. No, I get that a lot, too.
Well, that doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not just saying that. All right, so James Dolan is at Madison Square Garden, and he's going through the crowd.
Oh, yeah, this guy's awesome.
All he wants to do is play the blues.
That's it, man.
I mean, that's all he wants to do is get up there and make. He was on the Tonight Show.
I was just going to ask. It wasn't Kimmel.
It was Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
it was Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jambalaya. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. He brought the house down.
Yeah.
Please welcome JD and the Straight Shock.
Wash away my troubles. Wash away my pain.
I'm hooked right now.
By the way, the bastion of credibility that is Jimmy Fallon.
Wash away my sorrow.
He did lose all credibility after having James Dolan on. And I mean, the way he introduced him, I remember this story, Fred. I remember watching it. He's at JD in the Straight Shots. I mean, he gave full. Effort into getting that, introduced.
It was there. That was what that cost him his credibility. That right there.
That right there.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure there's other things, but that was one thing.
Oh, no. He can have guests on. They can throw like pies in each other's faces while he goes and laughs in hysterics. All right. So James Dolan is, he, of course, owns the New York Knicks, who are a very poorly run franchise. And this happened.
Sell the team.
Anything I can sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
That's ruined.
It's an opinion.
Yeah, no, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
So Dolan has the guy escorted and banned. Now, Johnson, you're a professional athlete for a long time.
I wish I could do that, Fred. Get him out of here.
Why is he paying attention to that?
No clue. This guy, you talk about thin skin. I'm just sitting there. This guy is unbelievable to me, the thin skin he has. He puts himself out there. I mean, he sits, I think, kind of right in the, that you know, down by the bench where everybody can, there's access to him and you can say anything you want. Remember Charles Oakley and him got into it?
Yes.
Not that long ago. So James Dolan is one of those owners where you just, there's, I would, it's all this talk about KD and Kyrie Irving wanting to go there. I'm like, how could you go play for an owner like that who's got such thin skin and is just, I mean, an awful, awful owner. But you're right, to get to your earlier point, the things that people say to you when you're on the road or whatever, the fans, if that's going to get your back up, You got a lot of problems, man. And somebody's saying that to you.
Yeah, and it's a paying customer, and I guess the guy's seats were pretty good, and so you're just kicking him out?
Yeah.
You're kicking a guy who paid out of the game.
I know. He's actually willing to spend a lot of money to sit about 15 rows from the court.
Right.
And he's one of the few people, by the way, and the guy didn't look like he was a billionaire, spent a lot of money, which he probably has budgeted, to sit near the court for a team that has been... what, I think made one playoff series in 15 years?
Yeah.
He's actually wants to watch your team. I mean, you're trying to bring those people in, not get rid of them.
So when he's Dolan sits there and hears his players get crapped on, he's perfectly fine with that. But if someone says sell the team to him, is he also on another planet where he thinks people like him? Well, obviously he's on another planet.
Yes.
Guys, he thinks people wants to hear his music. So.
Yeah. Guys that are worth that much money, no one ever says anything negative to them. No one ever tells them the truth. They're only told how great they are. And you know, people are just, you know, afraid to tell that somebody like that and of that stature with that who makes all that money the truth. You know, and so when they hear it, they hear, you know, people, you know, say what they honestly feel, you get all butthurt about it, you know?
It's not even like personal. It's just not. Sell the team. And so and to get the guy out. And then, by the way, then get on the – what's worse, a guy saying sell the team or getting on television and having every radio station across the country talk about it? I mean, he is truly an idiot. And getting him escorted out of the game. Enjoy it on television. Okay, well, great. Now I've lost
one less person coming to your basketball games,
right?
That you desperately need.
But in fairness, you know, it was out of line to tell them to sell the team based on the success they've had.
Yeah, right.
I should have known. I should have known. I should have thrown myself across his tracks, stopped him from these vile attacks. I should have known. We believed and didn't see through the lies he told us all.
JD and the Straight Shots.
If you watch the band members.
Yes.
Yeah.
They all, if you watch the band members playing behind him when he's singing, they give each other looks, man. I've seen him perform before, and I've seen just by chance, and it was, you could see the other band members were like looking around like, oh my God.
But you know they're getting paid
rolling
like
their eyes
30 times as much as a normal band playing a venue that size.
Of course they are.
Yeah, James Dolan.
He's a beaut, man. He's a beaut.
According to TMZ, witnesses saw two cops and MSG security make their way to the fan and get his information. No word whether the fan will be banned for life. In a statement to the Daily News, the Garden rep said, our policy is and will continue to be that if you are disrespectful to anyone in our venues, we will not. We will ask you not to return. And there you go. So obviously, no one has ever been heckled.
Wait, if you are disrespectful to anybody in your venue, well, that never happens at any venue,
right?
I mean, like, no one's ever. Everyone is just complimentary when you go to any sporting event.
Yeah,
everyone's very complimentary.
Concert lineup. For, JD and the Straight Shots doesn't have any shows.
TBA, baby. Well, he just pops in and out of the venue. You know, he's like Prince when he would do after parties. All right, so we'll be right back. There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. Real night. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Someone sent me this. Zolak put a tweet up that said, he said, odds in Vegas, Fred Toucher is late tomorrow and blames clock movement, 600-1. Yeah, well, you got a real grasp of odds there, Scott.
It should be even money, you see.
No, it should be one pays 600.
Mm.
600-1 would be
a long shot, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a vast, you'd be paid vastly more if I was on time.
Mm.
Not the sharpest.
Hey, guys, I got to go on my limos here. I'm heading to the stadium.
All right,
nice. So.
Yeah, there's limos there. All right, finally, over there in England, and if you go to a bar on the weekends, you're treated to people pretending that they like this. Someone came out of the stands and they gave one of them soccer players a punch to the grill.
The high anxiety off. There's an idiot on the field. This is disgraceful. A fan has run on and physically attacked Jack Grealish. An utter disgrace. Well, there are lines that just cannot be crossed. And
Jack Grealish has done extraordinarily well to stay calm there. Words just absolutely fail me. What an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't fail you. I mean, the guy hit him. Now,
that would be good.
Now, Ted, when you were playing, did anyone ever run on the field and you got to take a shot at him?
I didn't get to take a shot at him, but my my good friend Matt Chatham got to.
Oh, that's
take a
right.
Shot at
yeah,
him.
I remember that guy.
You remember that?
Yeah.
2003 season. It was the 2004 February 2004. We were playing the Carolina Panthers down in Houston, at right after halftime, I believe it might have been the opening kickoff to the second half. It was a streaker. He was wearing a jock strap. He had his back painted. And I forget exactly what he was, a .com kind of thing he was advertising. He runs out on the field, and Matt Chatham just clotheslines the guy, knocks his ass out, and then the guy got escorted out. And I've never really understood what the rules are on that, Fred. Like, I've always wondered, like, okay, if somebody comes out here on the field, I feel like it's just kind of this understood thing that – you're free to pretty much do whatever you want to that fan.
If you post 9/11,
you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Post 9/11,
without any
you can't get any crap for that because who knows what's going on,
right?
So, but was that kind of like the fantasy?
Big time.
Were you on the field?
I wasn't on the field. Okay. I didn't play many special teams. Guys were lined up for the kickoff, the opening kickoff. And so I was on the sideline, and I did not see the guy come through our bench area and starts running out on the field, waving his hands, and there's Chatham, just knocks him down. And I thought, God, that looks so fun. That looks so fun because it's the one time it's understood that you have a free go at a guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Without any consequence at all. And
sure.
Chatham knocked his ass out, and it was – what a great story he has to tell from that point on, man. I was jealous, and I've always wanted that. I have a sick fantasy about stuff like that, though, Fred. Like, a really sick fantasy. Like, I almost want somebody to break into my house just so I can kick his ass, just to feel what that feels like.
Yeah. All right.
Stuff like, yeah, weird stuff, right?
Okay.
So it kind of is in line with that a little bit, you know?
Now, is this something that this thirst for blood that you have, is this something that that you would – You could go to like a gym or something and fight a guy.
I could, but
You could put yourself in like a boxing class, which is like, you know, a bunch of like accountants and stuff, and you could get in there and just beat him up.
I could, but that's not the same thing.
Okay, so you want like you want someone to wrong you?
I want somebody to rob me,
yeah,
for my wallet, or I want to see somebody get robbed, and then I could go and jump on the guy and defuse it or save the day. It's weird. It's a really I'm not even kidding, man. I have a sick fantasy about saving the day and kicking someone's ass to help somebody. And it sounds weird, but it's just something I've always
wanted
to do. Do you get what
100%,
I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I just because Freddie, I work hard, man. I lift a lot of weights,
right?
You know, I put. You know, and I want to use this, to help somebody. Maybe
does that
someday.
Motivate you in the gym? In all honesty, does that motivate you in the gym? Like that fantasy of kicking someone's ass?
I would say it's a small part of what motivates me. Very small. But there's satisfaction in knowing that if I have to kick someone's ass, I think there's a good chance I could do that because of my working out. Yeah,
that's got to be an amazing feeling. Walking around knowing that you could kick almost anyone's ass.
Mm.
See, I can get my ass kicked.
That's easy.
And that's happened several times.
Yeah.
I've gotten my ass. Yeah, I got hit with a bottle. I got a scar there. I got hit with the butt of a gun. I got a scar there. I had this entire side of my face kicked in by three people. I'm an expert at getting my ass kicked. That I got all over the place. Can you imagine walking around like knowing you could kick everyone's ass?
No, I don't know that feeling. I can't. No, I'm not 200 and what are you now, 240?
Yeah, I'm 250.
250?
250, yeah.
250, and, you know, why I watched this guy play. He was pretty much a badass when he was playing. So I'm thinking, no, I don't know that feeling at all. I would like to have that feeling. That'd be kind of nice.
It is a satisfying feeling, knowing that I could probably, if I had to, physically take down 95% of the population if need be.
Okay, so if you got in, and you mentioned, like, kids sports and stuff, have you had someone step to you and...
I'm waiting for it. I want it. Come on. Seriously. Like, there's, it's almost.
You just got through telling us earlier this hour about parents and their problems and how ridiculous that was.
No. Right, I did.
No, but this is entirely different.
Sick fantasies.
No, this is entirely a different situation.
Oh, all right.
No, Ted wouldn't be reacting to something that was going on in the court or the field.
Oh.
Ted would be reacting to someone who came up to him and challenged him.
Yeah. There is. Look, I'm not. People listening, I'm not advocating for people to come up and start challenging me now.
No,
it's got to be an organic kind of thing,
right?
But I have this sick kind of like this thing where it's like, it happened once. There's an incident that happened in college one time. I was at a movie with my girlfriend. There was about five guys that were in the front of the movie. It was a late night movie, and they were brought. Beer bottles into the movie theater.
Okay.
So you can hear beer bottles dropping. It was literally like, it was kind of like a chick flick, right? And there was like three couples in the theater and then these five guys drinking beers at the front of the theater. And you can hear, and all the couples were all kind of looking at each other like, God, these guys were kind of ruining our experience here, our cinematic experience. And after a while went on, I was like, if no one's going to go up and say something to these guys, I'm going to. So I went up and I said, guys, would you mind keeping it down? We're trying to watch the movie. We'd really appreciate it. And they kind of looked at me like, okay. And for about 5 minutes, they did. And then they totally stopped. They started drinking again and making noise. And so after the movie, we're leaving the movie, and my girlfriend goes to the bathroom. So I'm standing out there in the middle. It's 12 o'clock at night. Nobody's in the movie theater. These guys come out, and they all circle me. They all circle me, and they start chatting me up, and I'm ready to go. I mean, it was a rush unlike anything I have ever experienced. And Fred, at that moment, John, I'm like thinking, I can do this. I can kick these five. And I have no formal training in fighting or anything.
Right.
But I just thought, you know, I'm a middle linebacker at University of Colorado. I can take these guys down. I'm strong. And here comes my girlfriend out of the bathroom, walks right into the middle, squeezes my arm, and then just slowly takes me out of the theater. It was a rush. I mean, it was like, I wanted to kick these five guys' asses so bad. It never came to that because Kelly came in and just slowly pulled me out of the circle and outside. But man, it was one of those things. Again, that sick fantasy of I'm ready to go. They were out of line. I was in the right. They were in the wrong and they were challenging me. Let's go.
You've bottled this feeling up now for how many years?
Yeah, it's been
30,
a long time.
35? You've been waiting 35 years for
this
opportunity?
You see how excited I get talking about
this
story?
Yes, it's kind of frightening sitting over
here. It's one of those things I regret. That's, you know.
Yeah, did it piss you off that she grabbed you by the arm?
A little bit, you know.
Because it shows that you have a lot of patience, that you didn't just go like, no, this is going to happen right now.
But the thing was, here's what happens. At that time, college linebacker, you have aspirations of playing in the NFL. What is that going to look like? I mean, I think it would look pretty good, right? Yeah. Me against five guys.
Yeah, it's a real tough test to get into the NFL.
Chances are I would have probably, you know, five guys. I don't know. I mean, in my mind at that moment, though, psychologically, I was like, this is like Parcells. This is why you lift all those weights. This is for moments like this. It never came to fruition, unfortunately, and it still kind of bothers me that it never came to fruition.
All right. Well, there are some people that are calling in that want to hear about this, and then we'll talk to Ty Anderson. Hear the headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.